So we're working our way through the book of Philippians, and over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking in particular at rejoicing through problems, how we can, in the midst of difficulty and trouble, still rejoice. I find that most people think you can't do that. Most people think that if you're going through problems, there's no way you can have joy in your life. But I want you to know the Bible says that you can. So I've given so far four things that you can do to help you to have joy in the midst of troubles. Let me review them for a moment. The first was, look for God's hands in your problem. Look for God's hand in your problems. If you are a Christian, if you have received Christ as your Savior, God is always at work in your life. Always. So whatever you are going through, God's hand is there. He's doing something. So don't sit back and moan and cry and, you know, throw a pity party. Look to see what God might be doing. With that in mind, secondly, expect positive opportunities from your problems. Expect positive opportunities from your problems. You know, if God's hand's at work in your life, God's going to do something good. He's going to do something positive. Now, for you, it may be some difficulty you're going through, but through your life and how you react and how you live, God may use your life to do something great in someone else's life. Expect positive opportunities. Number three, embrace the right focus. Problem we have when we go through problems is we tend to focus on ourselves. You know, we get all inward. We throw ourselves a pity party. All we do is think about all that, you know, what's going on in our life. We need to focus on God. And number four, we need to possess the right attitudes. And I love this from the Apostle Paul. First attitude was, either way I win. Paul said, look, if I die, I go to be with Christ. If I live, I get to serve God. Doesn't matter. Either way I win. We need to take on that kind of attitude. That no matter what happens with God working in our life, we're going to win. And then the second attitude was, put the needs of others before my own desires. Put other people's needs before your own desires. I want you to notice I didn't say put other needs before your needs. I said put others' needs before your own desires. Paul said, look, if I had a choice, I want to be with God. But I know if I stay here on the earth, it means I get to serve God. It means it's going to help you. So I'd rather stay here and help you with your needs than go and be with God, which is my desire. That's the kind of attitude we ought to have. Put the needs of others before our own desires. I want to give you three more this morning. Three more things to help you through your problem, help you rejoice through problems. Before I do that, Helen, I didn't see you before. Were you sitting there? You were blending in. Where's the box? People put clothes in? In the kitchenette. All right, it'll be in the kitchenette under the silver table there where most people put food during parties. So if you want to help with clothes for Scranton Rescue Mission through the Iwana Clubs. Thank you, Helen. All right, three things. Number one. Live worthy of the gospel. If you want to rejoice through problems, you have to live worthy of the gospel. Let me show you. Verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct your lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. Live worthy. He says, look, whether I see you or I don't, what I want to know is I want to hear that you are living worthy of the gospel. I think, as I've said so often, that many Christians do not believe that you can live with joy. Or you can sometimes even live like a Christian if you're not feeling good, if you're sick, or if you're going through problems. You know, if you're going through problems, kind of Christ gets put out the door and you get to be miserable. It's not the way it works. If you want to learn to rejoice through problems, you have to know as you're going through your problems, you are living a life that is worthy of the gospel. That's the charge here. Conduct yourself in a manner that is worthy of the gospel. The word conduct is a word that means live as a citizen. And as it relates to Christians in the Bible, it has the idea of living as you belong to the kingdom of God. My son-in-law and daughter are in for the weekend. And we were talking yesterday. He's a diehard Ohio State fan because he's from Ohio. Not much I can do about that. I am a diehard Penn State fan. And we sat together to watch the game. Last year, I enjoyed it. Penn State beat Ohio State. This year, it was a horrible game because we lost. But as we talked about watching the game, we both agreed on something. We both agreed that Joe Paterno and the coach for Ohio State, what's that guy's name? Tressel. Yeah, I guess that's his name. That both those coaches act with honor. And they would not do anything. They're going to fight and do all they can to win the game. But they're not going to do anything to harm or to make fun of or to degrade their opponent. And they say that to each of their teams. And they'll say to Ohio State, act like Ohio State, you know, the Buckeyes. And Paterno will say, act like Penn State Nittany Lions. They're saying, look, live and act like you're one of us. Are you living and acting like you are a child of God as you go through problems? I mean, as you're going through difficulties, can people see a difference in the way you live and the way this world lives? Paul says, look, I don't know if I'm going to see you. I hope I do, but whether I do or don't, I want to know that you are living in a way that you are living like a citizen, like a kingdom liver, that is living a life worthy of who you are. The word worthy means suitable, proper. If you are a Christian, you are to live up to that name. You are to live in a manner that is suitable for the Christian life. You are to live in a manner that is proper for your name. Paul says it this way in Ephesians 4. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You know, you talk to others about being a Christian as you live your life. I hope you do, and as you do, that means you are portraying yourself as a Christian. Therefore, when you go through problems, you need to live as a Christian would live, which means different than this world. So, what does that look like? I mean, it's one thing to say, I want you to live like a Christian. I want you to live worthy of the gospel, but does that look like? You know, sometimes we'll talk about being a mature Christian, and then sometimes people sit back and say, what is a mature Christian? Well, what does it look like to live a life that is worthy of the gospel? Paul talks about two things here in the passage. I want to give them to you. Here's the first one. If you're going to live a life worthy of the gospel, it means to persevere, to persist, to not quit. Someone who is living worthy of the gospel is not going to quit as they go through problems. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? When you're going through whatever it is you're going through, have you quit? You know, when we go through problems, problems are not easy. Problems are difficult. People say to me all the time, I'll sit with them, we'll talk about their issues, and they'll say, but you know, Pastor, you don't realize how hard that is. Well, I do. Life is hard. Have you quit? Have you quit on life? I mean, are you the same person you were 5 or 10 years ago? Or have you now gone through problems and through difficulties so you've just given up? You're still breathing. You're still walking. You're still talking. But you don't have the joy you used to have. You don't have the excitement you used to have as a Christian. You're no longer living that Christian life with excitement and living and being excited about being a Christian. You're just kind of going through the motions. And you've quit. It is absolutely impossible to rejoice going through problems or to have joy in problems if you've quit. Paul says, I want you to live a life that's worthy. And one of the things that's true of a worthy life is that it perseveres. It doesn't quit. It doesn't give up. It keeps going. It's kind of like the Timex watch. It keeps ticking. You know, you can beat it and throw it and kick it and drop it in water. It just keeps on ticking. Have you given up? Have you let your problems surround you and beat you up and, kind of just twist and turn and put so much pressure on you that you really have just given up? Let me say to you this morning, if you've quit and given up, get back up. It's that simple. Get back up. I think of Elijah. Elijah was fighting the prophets of Baal, and he had won the battle, but he missed one person, Jezebel. And Jezebel said, look, I'm going to kill you. So Elijah ran out into the desert, and he got under a juniper tree, and he laid down, and he cried, and he prayed, and he said, God, she's going to kill me. Will you do it for me? It's my paraphrase. He wanted to give up. And you know what God's, I love it. Here's God's real deep advice for him. Here's what he said to Elijah. Get up. Get up and get something to eat. I got something for you to do. If you quit, get up. Get back in the battle. Get back living your life. Get back living a joyful Christian life in the strength that God has for you and the power that God wants to give you. Sometimes we're looking for all these deep answers. Just got to get back in the game. Got to get back in the fight. Get up. In fact, this word stand firm is a military term. It has the idea of holding your ground against intense opposition. It has the idea that you're in the battle and you're fighting the battle and you're tired and you're ready to quit and you keep going. There's a second thing that Paul gives us about being worthy. It's in the same verse. I want you to notice he talks about contending. Contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. This is an athletic term, the term contend. First the military, this is athletic. And this word means to strive at the same time with one another. It has the idea that you're working together as a team. That there's harmony, that we are there in one spirit as one man, that we are together in one heart. I find people going through problems and they think the way to go through problems is to leave church, go get on their own and fight the battle. Doesn't work. God wants to fight as one man with one spirit, with one heart. And as we go through problems, we come together and we fight it together and we pray for one another and we encourage one another and we help each other fight the battle with one heart, one spirit, one man. You know, we think in our heads to do exactly opposite what God wants us to do when we're going through problems. We need to maintain harmony. Now, I want you to notice he says that we need to not quit. We need to maintain harmony. Notice he says, do it for the faith of the gospel. Faith is objective here. It means the word of God. So he's saying, look, I want you to live lives worthy of the gospel. And how do we do that? We do that by not quitting. We do that by having harmony. And we do that for the word of God. It is so sad when we look at people and they profess to be Christians and they allowed their problems to get the best of them. They've fallen apart. They've quit. They're mere images of what they used to be. They've just allowed life to beat them up. And you look at that and you see the non-Christian world looking at that life. And they say, if that's Christianity, what do they have that I don't have? Why bother going that route? There's nothing there for me. We need to persevere. We need to have unity. We need to live lives that are worthy of the gospel as we go through problems. And when we live that way, we can learn to rejoice as we go through troubles. Secondly, don't be afraid of those who oppose the gospel. Don't be afraid of those who oppose the gospel. You know that fear is a thief of joy? Fear is a thief of joy. It is almost impossible to be joyous if you're afraid. Fear will just rob, steal, pull the joy right out of your life. Look with me at verse 28. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign that to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. Do not be frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Remember, Paul is sitting under house arrest, and he's got guards all around him, and he's sitting there writing this letter, and he's looking at the opposition, the men who finally bring him before Caesar, and he will stand before Caesar for his very life. He looks around at all these guys, and he writes down these words to the Philippians, and he says, you know what, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. The word fear, frighten here, it's a word that's used. You ever see horses in a field? And they're all kind of standing there, and they're all just calm, and they're just standing there in the field. And all of a sudden, something happens, and the horses go nuts. That's the word that's used here for fear, frightened. It means to be scared. It says, don't be afraid of them. Don't let them intimidate you. Don't let them cause you to be afraid or to be fearful. God wants fearless soldiers in his army. God wants us to go through our problems and our difficulties without fear. And you look at me this morning and you're saying, oh, yeah, right. How in the world am I ever going to live this life without fear? Well, let me say, you don't do it in your own strength. You don't do it in your own ability. Have you ever seen two people that could be standing side by side and one's scared to death and the other's fine? You know, they're working on a job, and one's, you know, got the deadline, and they're going nuts, and they're trying to figure out how am I going to get all this done. You know, they're standing there just kind of working along, and they're okay. We do it in the strength that God provides. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold in my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Paul says, look, don't let those who oppose you frighten you. Don't let them do that. Stand in the strength and the power that God provides. If you are afraid, there's no way you're going to rejoice. And we see it all the time. We see people running around, and they're running around in fear. I see it with the flu. We see people walking around so scared that somehow they're going to start oinking. Yeah, I'm going to get the flu. I'm going to get the H1N1 or whatever it's called, the swine flu. Well, no, they changed that. I better get that shot. Well, what if I get the regular flu? I better get that shot. I'm not telling you not to get your shots. But I'm telling you that so often people walk around in hysteria, afraid of every little thing. Paul here is sitting, as I said, and he has all these Roman guards around him, and he's talking here not about getting the flu or something like that, but he's talking here about those who oppose us, those who oppose the gospel as we go out with the truth of God's word. And he's seeing all this, and he knows he's going to stand before Caesar, and as he's watching, he says, look, don't let those guys scare you. You know, what's causing you to be afraid? You can't have joy if you have fear. You got to get the fear out of there. The only way you can do that is by trusting God to help you through everything. The only way you can do that is by gaining the attitude I talked about last week, by having the attitude that either way I win. No matter what happens, I win. Don't be afraid of those who oppose you. This word oppose is a word that could be used of an opponent or an enemy. Those who stand against you, he says, look, don't be afraid of them. The fact that we'll go out and share the gospel and spread the gospel, the fact that we'll keep going and we're not going to be afraid of those who oppose the gospel, that's a sign to them. You know, you get to the elections and you get so many people scared to death. Uh-oh, look who just got elected. The world's falling apart. Well, Psalm 46 says, even if the world falls apart, I'm going to trust God. It's going to be a sign. Notice the first sign in verse 28. It's a sign that our opposition will be destroyed. A word that speaks of eternal punishment. But it's also a sign of our own salvation. So there's no need to fear those who oppose us. If you're afraid, you need to work on your fears. You need to work on those things that are robbing you of joy. You need to get rid of those things that just keep stealing joy out of your life. I am not telling you that living this life is easy. It is not. I am telling you that as long as you allow fear to control your life or fear to become part of your heart, it's going to be a hard time to be joyous. With the strength and the power and through faith in Christ, you can overcome whatever your fear is. Number three. Consider suffering for Christ a privilege. Consider suffering for Christ a privilege. Again, Paul is speaking from a position where he is guarded and in jail. I want you to notice verse 29. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, for it has been granted to you. Don't get lost in those words. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe, great! Isn't that awesome? That because of the grace of God and because of Jesus Christ, God has granted us the ability to be saved? Do you know that one of us could ever come to Jesus Christ unless Christ draws us? Not one of us could ever turn to God unless God reached out and grabbed us. It is God's grace that allowed every one of us to turn to Him for salvation, but you ought not to stop there. But also to suffer for Him. God's grace not only gives us the ability to be saved, but God's grace gives us the ability to suffer. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. It's important that we do not pass this lightly. What Paul is saying here in this verse is this. Suffering for Christ is a God-given privilege for which we should rejoice. Suffering for Christ is a God-given privilege for which we should rejoice. If you are going through suffering for Jesus Christ, God has given you that privilege and you ought to rejoice. Here's what Paul's saying. Salvation, often in Scripture, is seen from two sides. One from heaven looking down, the other from us looking up. Clearly, the Bible teaches that God chooses us, God elects us, God calls us to salvation. So God reaches out and draws us unto Him. At the same time, the Bible teaches that God reaches out and He picks people to suffer for Him. It's been granted you not only to
be saved, but to suffer. I believe that God knows who will do well and who will not do well. And I want you to think about this as you think about your problems. Whatever problem you're going through, some of you may be going through things that aren't that big a deal, and some of you may be going through things that are gigantic, and maybe it's been there for years. But I believe that God picks you and says, in this situation, I want this person to be there, and through this situation, I want to use their life to be a testimony for me. God chooses you for that. And in choosing you for that, he believes that you are the right person to be in that situation so that you will live your life in the right manner that you will ultimately bring God glory. Now let me ask you, are you going through some situation, some problem? And are you living in such a way that you're bringing God glory? Or are people looking at your life and saying, they're not what they used to be. They've let the problems get the best of them. That's a Christian. They really don't look like one. They don't seem to be letting Christ help them any more than when I go through a problem. Paul says, look, God may have put you right in that very spot so that you would bring him glory. And that's exactly what Joseph said. Joseph said, I went through this, and I went through that, and I went through that, and you know what? He said, brothers, I am right here because God wanted me here so that I could save many lives. What are you doing with the place that God has put you? Are you becoming a testimony for God? Or are you becoming a casualty? And are you becoming what Paul talked about, of being put over on the shelf and no longer usable? Because if you don't persevere through your problems, you become in a place where you're no longer usable for God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I want to give you a moment just between you and God. You know where you're at in life. You know what you're dealing with. Are you allowing fear to gain control of your life? Are you afraid of those situations and people that stand in opposition to you? Are you being strong or are you quitting? Are you living worthy? Or are you a mess? If you find yourself in a spot where you're not living up to, you know what God wants you to do, just talk to God and tell him you want to get back up. You want to get back to living the way that you know you should. Or tell God that you're just hurting and need a whole lot of help. And ask him for the strength and the power and the help that you need so that you can rejoice. Let God know that you can't do it in your own strength and you need his strength. Father, I pray for anyone and everyone who's hurting this morning. And I pray, Lord, that in the midst of what they're dealing with, that you would give them the strength to turn to you. Help them, Lord, to have faith. Help them to believe that you can help them. And I pray, Lord, that they wouldn't quit. I pray, Lord, they wouldn't give up. And if they have in the past, Lord, help them to get back up. Help them to realize that though a righteous man falls 7 times, he gets back up again. I pray, Lord, that you might pick out every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, and you might reach into the heart and give them strength, give them help, give them encouragement. Help them, Lord, to begin to rejoice. And Father, we will praise you. For we pray in Jesus' name.